Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm glad you're here. Those of you who just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. Those of you who've been listening already, that means you're a very smart person. Congratulations on that, and thanks for being here. Don Taylor is our guest. He's the co-author of Up Against the Walmarts, How Your Business Can Prosper in the Shadow of the Retail Giants. Don is a business survival and fast growth specialist, the president and CEO of DataStar Communications out of the great state of Texas, and he's our friend. Don, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Great to be with you again this morning.
It's good to have you back, as always, and this is a very important topic. You know, Don, you and I have done a couple of these before already, talking about how to compete with the big boxes and up against the Walmarts, as you say, Walmart in this case being a metaphor for any of the big box competitors. And, you know, Don, one of the things that I love to do, and I probably mentioned this the last time you were here, when I speak around the country, depending on what they want me to speak, if they leave me to my own devices, Don, one of the things I like to talk about, which is a little dangerous, one of the things I like to talk about is I tell small business owners to say thank you to Walmart. And when I say that, and by the way, that always gets the attention of my host whenever they say, what are you going to talk about? I say, well, I'm going to tell your audience to say thank you to Walmart. And they always say, well, I'd like to hear that. So that's kind of a hook that works pretty well. But when I say to the audience the first time that I think you ought to say thank you to Walmart, I love seeing the look on their face because it's like, I mean, I don't know whether they're saying either, some of them are in their eyes, I can see he's lost his mind or we're going to run this guy out on a rail, you know?
Exactly.
And it's interesting to see the reaction of people. But I tell people to say thank you to Walmart because I believe that the people who are regular Walmart shoppers are not small business customers, are not small business prospects. And that by Walmart being there, they're taking those people out of your hair. They're not coming in your store and wasting your time, never intending to spend money with you.
Yeah.
They're just coming to you for the technical background and going to Walmart to save a penny.
Well, you know, I have kind of a little philosophy about that. I believe, and I've had small business owners complain to me and say, how do you handle this situation? Guy comes in, he's looking for an electric drill or he's looking for a cordless drill, and you spend 15 minutes showing him the various drills and the advantages and features of each one, and then he walks out and goes to Walmart and buys.
Well, to save 50 cents.
Shame on you. You had him in the store. You had the opportunity to sell him. You could show him. And if you didn't present the value proposition effectively enough to get him sold, then you deserve to lose the business.
That's a good point because there is a value in doing business with you that's worth that extra $5 or the extra $10 or the extra 50 cents. There is a value.
It doesn't even cost any more, Jim, and this is a sad thing.
That's a good point.
The perception. You know, Walmart for 44 years now has been advertising the same basic marketing slogan. You can't go anywhere else and buy it for less. And so people are just sort of trained to go to Walmart because, well, we may as well go there. We can't go anywhere else and buy it for less. Now, the message has changed, you know, 15 times and over the years, but the basic core is still the same. You just might as well come to Walmart because that's where it's the cheapest. Well, that's not true. It's not always true, and it's certainly not true among the small business owners. They can compete on price in certain areas with certain specials. I wouldn't encourage for them to try to compete on price every day because Walmart is big enough now that they have some tremendous buying horsepower. And
Don,
really
I tell them not to even
business price isn't the way.
I tell them shame on them if they even try to compete on price. In fact, of course, as you probably heard me say before, Don, the price war is over and we lost. Whenever I do a speech, I make the audience repeat that with me. The price war is over and we lost.
Yes.
And if you believe that, which is and it's the truth, then you won't even get into that thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the Walmart book, we talk about a variable pricing strategy because pricing is really perception. It's not fact.
Mm-hmm.
And people, if people believe the price is lower at Walmart, then they're going to believe that, and that's their perception. And even if you give them proof that it isn't, they're still going to believe that most things, that was just a special deal in your store. But I think if we focus on lowering the prices on what I call price-sensitive items, and we lay this all out in the book, how
right.
to do it, what to look for, what Walmart and Kmart and Target advertise highly. If you will look at those things and lower those prices, you don't have to lower much. Just get them down within 10 or 15% of Walmart. That's fine. And then you can go back into what we call blind items and add a little margin back there, and your net overall gross margin didn't change, but your perception of value went up by
40%. Well, and the people that you want to do business with are the ones who aren't looking for price. They're looking for value, and you can do that. You can deliver value much better than Walmart. That's your strong suit, and that's where you need to focus on. Quick break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about something Walmart is up to that I think is a very, very evil thing for them to do. Ponytail, stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Don Taylor is our guest. He's the author of Up Against the Walmarts, along with Gene Smalling Archer, his co-author. How your business can prosper in the shadow of the retail giants. You know, Don, by the way, before we go any further, you got a website you want to give us?
I don't.
But the book is available. It's now in second edition, right?
That's right.
It's available
out,
wherever books are.
It came out in 1994 originally, and this is the second edition. I think it's available at any of the online bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, etc.
Check it out when you get a chance. Don, as I said earlier, I actually tell my audience, that my people who listen to me, that they should thank Walmart. So I don't have a problem with the existence of Walmart. It doesn't. I don't think we ought to be concerned with when big box companies move into town. We all benefit from them. Everybody shops there. I mean, I see small business owners who complain about them. I actually see them in those stores buying things. They serve a purpose. If they beat us, we've allowed ourselves to be beaten. You said that earlier.
Absolutely.
But there's something Walmart's doing right now that I think is evil. And I really think it's an egregious, a monopolistic, in-your-face behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And it's with regard to minimum wage.
Right.
See, if Walmart wants to meet me in the marketplace and compete with me, I'll do it. I'll go toe to toe with them, and I'll survive. But when they start trying to affect public policy in a way that hurts me, that's where I draw the line. And so what they're doing, the average Walmart wage, it's my understanding, is somewhere in the $8 to $9 an hour rate.
Range. Yes, I believe that's right. That's been published. That's
minimum wage is $5.15 right now. Mm-hmm. And as everybody knows who listens to me, they know that I don't think minimum wage needs to be raised. Not that I don't think people should make more money. I just think they need to earn that money, not be given that money by government fiat. I don't like the idea of the government setting my prices, and wages is a price.
I agree, absolutely.
So Walmart is trying to get, they're trying to use their considerable fortune to affect an increase in minimum wage. Now, that event, if that happens, if Walmart is able to do that, that will hurt small business owners. And I am against it. I'm going to speak out against it. I'm going to do everything I can to stop them. And to the degree that they focus on that and they make a commitment to that, I will also do everything I can do on this show and within my ability to speak out about it and to try to stop them.
Well, you know, Jim, honestly, I had not heard that Walmart was involved. That is just it's almost anti-corporate philosophy to want to raise the minimum wage. Now, I don't,
right.
I'm not saying they aren't doing it. I just wasn't aware of it until you had mentioned it. But it's kind of counterproductive for the whole business world. You can't improve the economy by improving the minimum wage. Essentially,
right.
Other prices go up because of the increase in wages, and so the consumer ends up paying more. And the you know, because we have to pay more, the dollars that we get, even though our minimum wage has gone up a dollar or a dollar and a half,
right,
are just spread over the cost of products and services that we buy, and it doesn't improve anything.
Now, if you think politics doesn't make for strange bedfellows, mm-hmm, the biggest detractor right now of Walmart is Senator Ted Kennedy, mm-hmm, the senior senator from Massachusetts, the arch enemy of small business.
Yeah.
He
has pushed minimum wage his entire Senate career.
Exactly, but my point is he now is a major Walmart detractor.
Uh-huh.
Because he says that they're not good. They have overbearing practices with their employees. They don't pay the benefits properly, and you know what I'm saying. You've heard his argument along
Absolutely.
Those lines.
Sure.
So here the biggest detractor of Walmart, Ted Kennedy, is finding himself having to agree with them on the minimum wage issue. And you think politics doesn't make small strange bedfellows?
It sure does.
That's an interesting little pair there, Walmart and Ted Kennedy.
It really, and it's interesting when your enemies change their mind a little bit about something that you're a big advocate of, how quickly that pendulum swings back to where they're our best friends.
If I'm ever looking at an issue and I'm a little confused about how I should feel about it because mm-hmm, maybe I don't completely understand it, maybe I haven't had time to research it, all I have to do is find out what Ted Kennedy thinks, and then I know how I will think. It'll be the opposite.
But I would agree 100%.
I can't think of
anything that he and I agree on.
Well, and I'm looking forward. We're actually trying to get him on the show. We have a mutual friend, he and I, who's trying to get him on my show, and we're working on that. So I'd like to talk to him about these things. But anyway, back to Walmart.
Well, Jim, let me give you some advice. Catch him early in the morning when he's sober.
Yeah. Let's not be at hammering him here.
I apologize.
Yeah, you should take that back. But anyway, yeah, the thing about the Walmarts doing this minimum wage thing, mm-hmm, is very, to me, that's very egregious, and I'm very disappointed that they've decided to get involved in that. I want to move over and talk about something that I've seen recently happening across the country, and that is this idea of communities providing tax incentives for retailers. Now, what do you think about that?
I have never been in favor of communities providing tax incentives for retail development, for retail expansion, for retail recruitment, and I'll tell you why. What makes and this is true particularly, Jim, in rural communities, in small communities. What makes a rural community successful is not bringing more retail in and cutting the economic pie into thinner pieces. What makes a rural community successful is locating businesses or growing businesses,
right,
that bring new money into the community from the outside. In other words,
capital.
They're located here in your community, but they sell their products and services outside, thereby bringing new money in. If you concentrate your economic development efforts and dollars in recruiting those kind of businesses, the retail and service will come.
They will follow. Stand by. Quick break. Don Taylor and I will be right back after these messages. Tintel, stay with us.
She was hanging on, Johnny.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Don Taylor, the co-author of Up Against the Walmarts, a book that's available wherever books are sold. I encourage you to check it out. It'll help you compete against the big guys. Don, we were talking about the idea of communities providing tax incentives, economic incentives, for retail operations, and the problem that I've got with that is that the retail element of a sector of the marketplace is the terminal element. That's
right,
as far as it goes. Nothing begets off of that. You buy and you consume. That's what retail is all about.
Absolutely.
It does create sales tax, though. And hold that thought, because that's a biggie.
Right.
But if you help people create jobs in the industry, in commercial businesses, in people who hire employees and make capital investments for non-retail issues, that creates jobs and income tax, and then consumers who then can go and contribute to the community and buy from retail. And you have a very interesting approach. You have a little better way of saying that. That's a lot more graphic and a lot more easy to understand. Talk to us about that.
Well, Jim, I believe with all my heart that retail is important in every community. But you're right. It's the end and not the beginning. And I like to think of it as a tree. You know, if you look at a tree and you just were walking across the yard or the pasture or the field, whatever, and you see a tree, what you see is the top of the tree. You see the leaves, you see the limbs, and let's just assume for a moment that it's a beautiful fruit tree. The fruit is the result of the action of the tree, and that would be retail, and that would be our service sector and our construction sectors and government services and education. Those are the fruit of a strong economy. But you've got to realize that all of that economic sap runs up from the roots and comes up into the tree. And the economic root system is basic business, or those types of businesses, industrial and commercial, who create and add value and then ship that product out of your area, thereby bringing new money in.
Now, and typically,
employment is what makes the economy strong.
And those jobs are typically higher paying.
Yes.
There's typically more capital invested in those kinds of businesses than in retail. And it's capital that stays in the community. It doesn't just come in and out through the banks.
Now, back to
the tax issue. Those jobs create taxes, but primarily income tax that goes out of the community and comes back indirectly. Sales tax, and this is what local politicians seem to get excited about, sales tax they get to keep immediately. Yeah. It stays right there in the community. And so that's the reason why I think politicians gravitate towards incentivizing retail. But what I think, and I think you'll agree with me on this because you're connected to incubators, I think if businesses wanted to do more incentivizing of the economy, they should be focusing more on growing small businesses through incubators and other ways that will get the basic economy, those at root system you were talking about, rather than the retail.
Let's go back and look at that a minute, though. You know, you talk about now we've got this industrial worker hired out here. Where does sales tax come from? It doesn't come from Walmart. You know, it doesn't come from the local grocery store. It doesn't even come from the independent merchants. It comes from men and women who are employed, have money to spend, and when you have more basic income jobs in the community, you've got more folks who are going to go out and buy cars, pay sales tax, buy clothing items and hardware and tools and all the other things that are for sale in a retail store. That's where sales tax come from. So if you come up through the root system, you got a healthy root system, a lot of basic income generating companies, then your retail and your sales tax is going to be much stronger than if you use those incentives to just attract retail. Just never works that way. It's backwards. You know, it's like hanging more fruit on the tree, but you don't have the root system to support it.
Well, another thing that's seductive is a lot of communities think that if they incentivize and get large anchor retail operations, that they'll pull people from the surrounding counties. Which I know that happens, it's still more of the backward thinking, isn't it?
It absolutely is, because, see, instead of growing the economy, you're actually just shifting in a regional economy from one community to another.
Right. Yeah, you're not really creating anything new, which the jobs in that root system you were talking about actually do. Hey, Don, thanks for being here. Good job today. The book is called Up Against the Walmarts. Don, thanks for being back, and have a great holiday.
It's always a pleasure, and the same for you, Jim.
Thank you. Don Taylor, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners out there competing against the Walmarts. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.